כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
Start your day at the Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, 10th of Iyar, 11th of May, 25th day of the Omer. Rabbi Gideon Goldwater, Shlita, Sfiras HaOmer. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lichvot Simchas HaBar Mitzvah of Tzvi Donner, Neri Yoyev, the Mitzvah's La Shabbos, Yir Rotzon Shizku, Horov, Uzkenot, Rav Nachal, Semena Mikol, Yotzei Chalotzeihem.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. As some of you have already pointed out, today's subject topic I thought was particularly relevant. Shiras HaOmer. And what better place to start than the bracha that we make every evening? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu al Shiras HaOmer. And the Rishonim already point out that it's a bit of a strange lashon, a strange wording of the bracha. The Gemara in bracha tells us that every bracha, certainly birchas hamitzvot that we make, have to reflect the actual thing that we're about to do. So when we wash our hands for hamoitzi, it's al netilas yodayim, we're washing our hands. You take the lulav, al netilas lulav. But they ask the question of al tfiras ha'omer seems to be a little bit strange. What exactly are we counting? The omer was a measurement for the korban. We're not counting that. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim suggests an alternative lashon. He says maybe you should say al tfiras ha'yomim. You should count the days. That's what we're doing. And the Rishonim all give different answers as to why it is that we say Al Shiras HaOmer and not Al Shiras HaYomim or other suggestions. So what's your vote? Exactly. That's the question. I'd like to share a mahalach, a particular approach in understanding what Al Shiras HaOmer really means. B'shem Rav Moshe Shapiro that I think gives an amkus of depth understanding really a lot about what the avoda of the sphira really is. And then go back to understand why it is that Chazal Masakein Daska specifically to say Al Shiras HaOmer, even though it seems to be that that's not the correct description of what we're actually doing. Rav Moshe Shapiro explains that in order to understand Al Shiras HaOmer, you need to look at the Shoresh. You have to understand the word Sphira itself, the concept of counting Al Pi HaTorah. And whenever we want to understand anything in Torah, we always look at Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaKodesh. Always describes the atmios, the etzem of what it is that you're that the word describes. So let's look at the word sphira, the shorish of sphira, samach pei resh. As we see many times in Lashon HaKodesh, the same shorish can be used to mean multiple different things, and often when it has multiple meanings, there's actually a common theme between those meanings. A classic example of that is the word shema. We say every morning, every evening, shema means to hear, to listen. And yet, when in Navi it says, Vayishma Shol Etam, it's talking about Shol gathering the army together to go to war. Shema there means gather together. What's the common theme between gathering pieces together and hearing? So the common theme there is that when you hear, you're piecing together the sound, each syllable together, to create a structure. And if you understand the language, you can make sense of it. Shema means to gather together and to hear, because those are one and the same. So when it comes to Sphira, the Loshan, the Shoyrish, Samach Pei Reish, we see Sfarim is border towns. If you want to describe the towns around the edge of a territory or a certain country, those are the Sfarim, those are the border towns. They demarcate the end of the country. We have the concept of Mispar, the idea of a number itself. A number itself is that which says, this is how many there are, there's no more. So you can see the common theme between border towns and a number. It places a limitation, a boundary around whatever it is being described. That part's easy. The problem is the other meanings of this shoyrish, samas pei resh, that don't exactly fit into this theme. Sefer, what's a sefer? A sefer is that which expresses or allows the author, the mechaber, to expand their ideas and send their ideas. You can print a book here and have it distributed across the world. It's not limiting. It's on the contrary, it's expanding. Even the Torah itself is called a sefer Torah. To say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limiting himself in the Torah, there's something wrong there. So we have to try and understand what is that common theme that's going to link these seeming opposites. Rav Moshe Shapiro describes there are two ways to count things. The first way of counting things is almost very, very simple to understand. You want to know how many things there are? So count them. That's one type of counting. So this type of counting is very dangerous. Why so? So he says, he brings a quite well-known Gemara that appears a few places in Shas. For those learning Daf Yomi, the most recent time it came up was in Tanis Dafkes, a very, very amazing Daf with loads of very well-known Gemaras on. But at the bottom of the Amud Beis there, it says the following. Tana Rabbanan brings a Braisa. Hanichnos lamud es geronoi, somebody goes to harvest their crops to go and see how much he's going to have for the year. He should say the following bracha. There should be Hashem's ratzon. Shetishlach bracha b'maaseh yodeinu. And we know from Ruch Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim Shaar Beis, what does it mean, Baruch Atah Hashem? When we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we don't mean Hashem, you should be blessed. Hashem doesn't need our bracha. It means Hashem, you are the Makor HaBracha. What's bracha, says Ruch Chaim Volozhin? Brach is ribui, expansion. You are the source of expansion, the infinite source of everything that we see in the world. You are that source. You, the source of ribui, should allow ribui to come into the world. You should multiply and expand what we have. That's what we're saying when we say a bracha. So when you go to harvest your field, or when one would go and harvest their field, they'd say, he wants them upon echa. Shatishlach baracha v'maisei yodeinu. There should be a bracha, there should be a ribui. We're davening for more. We want to go out to our field and find more than we thought there was there. More than was there. Hischil lomud, once you start the process of measuring how much you have, you've started counting your money. Oyme baruch ha-shelech, bracha b'kriyazeh. You make another bracha. Baruch ha-shelech, bracha b'kriyazeh. Modad, but if you measured it, you counted how much was there, v'achakach bireich, and then you made this bracha. Harizu tefillah shav. That's a tefillah shav. You're not allowed to daven after you've measured it. Why? The vishayin bracha metziyah loy b'davar ha-shokel, loy b'davar ha-modud, loy b'davar ha-moli, al-b'davar ha-somu min ha-ayin. Quite a well-known idea that once you know how much there is, you can't ask for more. So what's pshat in the Gemara? So basic understanding is that until you know how much there is, it's not a nace that it should increase. You don't know how much is there. It could be that it started with 90, you said your bracha, now it's 100, you have no way of knowing, there's no nace there. But once you know how many is there, now it's a nace nigla. If you measured it and there's 100 there, and then you daven there should be 110, and then you count there's 110, that's a nace nigla. You're not allowed to daven for a nace nigla. So what's really going on here? Just as soon as I heard this idea, Ramesh Spirit takes you a step back and he says, hang on a minute. That means before I measured it, I make a bracha that what? That there should be a ribui, there should be an expansion. And then what happens? Well, we don't know what happens because we didn't measure it. But presumably, at least we're allowed to believe that Hashem answered our tefillah and that there was a ribui. Meaning, a nista really happened. There was 90, I davened. I didn't know there was 90, but I davened. And now there's 100. I didn't know that, but once I count it, that can't happen anymore because that would be a nace nigla. And that you can't shift. In that scenario, this case, where you've measured it, by counting the produce, you're cutting it off from the Makor HaBracha. You're saying, no longer can there be a ribui without me noticing, and therefore, by placing a number on that pile of crops or whatever it is, you've cut it off from the Makor HaBracha, the source of all expansion, can no longer act in the way of Neis Nista. And says my spirit, that's an idea of counting that places limitation on things. It says this is how many there are and no more. What's the correct way of counting? We said there's two ways to count. One way is to see how much there is. When you're counting, see how much there is, you're cutting it off from the Makor HaBracha. But there's another way of counting. In fact, there's the Torah way of counting, which doesn't cut it off from the Makor HaBracha. Adarabha, on the contrary, it's going to attach and connect it to the Makor HaBracha. So obviously, if we want to see anything and understand anything in Torah, we look for the first time the Torah does something, first time it's mentioned, and then we can understand what it is. So what's the first time the Torah counts anything? Ma'aseh Bereishis. It counts the days of Bereishis. And what does it say? It says, Vayihera Vayihi Boiker, Yoim Echod. And Rashi famously, everyone knows this Rashi, points out, Lefi Seide Loshna Parsha, Rashi says the Torah should have said, Vayihera Vayihi Boiker, Yoim Rishon. Kamosha kosa b'shara yomim, like it says on the other days, sheini, shlishi, revi. Lama kosa echad, why does it say echad? Lefisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachid b'olamai. It wants to point out that on day one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yachid b'olamai. There was total unity in the world. So what does that Rashi really mean? So trying to understand this Rashi, it gives an insight into what we're talking about. Proper counting. See, there's another way to count, which actually we see in Halacha, the idea of a Dovah Sheba Minyan, right? Classic example is a Beit Sar, right? An egg is a Dovah Sheba Minyan. What's the significance in Halacha of a Dovah Sheba Minyan? So a few things. One, it's not bottle. Why? Because it's choshev. I feel a bit out of it, not bottle, because it's a Dovah choshev. Why? Because it's sold as a unit with other items. There is a certain type of counting that takes the individual part and connects them to a greater unity. It connects them to something bigger than themselves. The actual egg is the same as anything else, but because it's a dovash of a minion, it's counted as part of a whole, it becomes more choshev. There's the Torah. You want to know how to correctly count the things in the world, the multiple things that we see around us? It's not to see how many there are. It's to connect them to a greater unity. Normally, when you count in this way, you'll count how many things there are, not to know how many there are. If you want to know how many there are, it doesn't matter what number you start with. You can start with 30, count to 5, and now you know there's 5. It doesn't matter where you start. That's the Torah. When you start with Echad, when your goal is to create Achdus, to create a bigger unit, and by counting, you're taking each individual part and connecting it to a bigger whole, you're changing mispar, you're changing the way that you're counting from disconnecting it from the Makor HaBracha, like we saw that after you've counted how much produce you have, you can't make a bracha anymore because it's now disconnected. And instead you're taking all the parts and connecting it back to Hashem. How does that work? And why is that connected to the Sphira that we're in the midst of at the moment, Sphira Sa'ima? And for that we need to take another step.
So can I answer?
Of course.
How do you explain the second part? How do you connect them back on?
So it's interesting because in English we have a similar idea that I think reflects this a little bit. There's two ways of saying the beginning. There's two ways to start counting. You can either say this is the first, or you could say this is number one. When you say the first, you're implying that there is a second, right? There's a connection between one and the... When you say there's one, that item can exist almost independently. There's one. Each item is independent. So the concept of a Dovah Sheba Minyan, where you're connecting each, is that each item independently isn't so important. It's what, by counting them together, you're creating a unit. You're connecting. There are now 10 of these. You're right, there's 10 individual items, but there's 10. And they're a unit of 10. There's the Torah, the whole world is supposed to be viewed, connected back to that unity. And it makes sense as well, because the idea is that we're supposed to look at the world and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yachid Boilomri. And the Torah, the first time it counts, wants to remind us of this idea. Total Achdus, total unity. And that's the idea of Bracha as well. That Hashem, as the infinite source of everything, before the Bria, there was no multiplicity, there was no twos. It was just Achdusoi. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But once you are the Makor HaBracha, there's a Shefa, and there's an expansion. So now we see lots of different things. But really, all of it ties back and connects back to Achdusa Yisborach. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, we read it on Shabbat Nachamu, Su'u, in HaTorah, obviously, Su'u Morem Einechem, Uru'u Mi Bora Eila. You should look around the world, Su'u Morem Einechem, it's one of those English words, just reserved for this season. Cast your eyes heavenwards, right? So umarmeinechem uru'u and see mi bora eila. Who created everything? And we know that when the Gaon points out by Chet HaEgel, what was their mistake? They separated the me, the who, from the eila, from the multiplicity. All eila means all these different things. And what did they say? They said eila Eloheinu Yisrael. These are the gods of Israel. They separated the me, the who that was behind, the achdus behind all the ribui. There's the Vilna Gaon. Obviously, if you connect the me to the Eila, you have Elohim. This is the same idea. The idea of looking around the world and seeing the whole world and all the different things in it as disconnected from a creator, which is the Shosh of Avodah Zorah, that's the Chet HaEgel, is really the mistaken counting of saying this is how many there are and they're not connected to anything else. Su'u Morim Einechem, the Avodah of Klal Yisrael, is to be the ones that recognize the me behind the Eila, to count properly and connect back to the source. You know, one of the times that we do this was on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol's Avodah was, how does Avodah go on Yom Kippur? Achas, v'achas, each time connecting it back to the Makor. That's how you count properly. You know, the Minhag Yisrael, pretty much all over the world, I've yet to come across anyone that doesn't do this at the end of Seder night, after the kids are already asleep. So you might think we just add the songs at the end, but often the kids are already gone. You know, it's conceptual past the age of 10, maybe they can stay up a bit younger. If they really, you know, took a shluf during the day, they can stay up. But the reason we're doing the songs at the end is not for the kids. You put it at the beginning if that's what it's for. What song do we sing? Pretty much anywhere you go. Echod mi yodea. After the whole process of chayav adam lirat es atzmoy, we've left Mitzrayim now, and what do? We start counting. And how do we count there? Echod mi yodea, echod elokeinu. And then we go each number and connect it back to Echad Elokeinu, Sheva Shamayim Varet. Until what number? Number 13. Why said, why not 14? I'm sure we could find something interesting at 14, 15. We could go on forever. And we want to go to sleep. But 13 is Gematria Echad, because it's all about connecting it back to the Achdus of Hashem. So you see, there's something about going out of Mitzrayim that the Avodah then becomes, let's start counting. And that's when we start counting Sfiras HaOmer. Because the correct kind of counting connects everything that we see around us back to Hashem. The wrong type of counting, that's Mitzrayim. You know, there's one place in the Torah that it describes the exact difference between Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim. At the end of Parashat Ekev, just before we read the second parasha of Shema, it says, what's the difference? Lo yichi Eretz Mitzrayim hi. Eretz Yisrael is going to be ki ha'oret asher atov hashama l'mishta loich Eretz Mitzrayim. You want to know the difference between Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael? It says, what about Mitzrayim is v'yishkisu b'raglecha kigana yorok. There, you don't need to rely on Hashem. You can go and plant your field and you've got the river Nile. You don't need to daven. You don't need Hashem. You don't need ribui. You've got the Nile there already. However, in Eretz Yisrael, tamidene Hashem alekecha b'mereishis hashana v'yadacha l'shana. The whole time, there's no river Nile to rely on, you have to daven, you need the rain in Eretz Yisrael. The difference between the way Mitzrayim sees the world and the way that Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael are supposed to see the world is that they see nature as disconnected from Hashem. They separate the me and the Eila that Klal Yisrael, through Morim Einechem, we are supposed to look and see the underlying achdus behind everything in the world that looks separate. The avodah of Sfiras HaOmer is through Morim Einechem Uru Mi Bara Eila. Leaving Mitzrayim, which, by the way, Mitzrayim also makes Sorim, his boundaries, limitations. They were the ones that put the limitations on the world and said that this world is not connected to Hashem. What does Paro say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Says, me, Hashem! Me! I don't know who this me is! Mitzrayim is that which places Mitzrayim on the world. They are Mitzar Yam. They put a Mitzar, they put a limitation on the Yam. Gematria me, the same word, same letters. They put a limitation on that which shouldn't be limited. The sea is not supposed to have a limit, but they put a limitation on. They disconnected the world from the Makor HaBracha from Hashem, and Klal Yisrael's Avodah is to leave Mitzrayim behind, and Mitzrayim is obviously Gematria Mispar, because they are the ones that improperly counted. They placed a barrier between this world and Hashem. Our Avodah during the time of Sfira is to count properly, to recognize that every moment, every item that we see in the world around us should connect us back to Hashem and does. And obviously, as that as being our avodah, where are we counting to? We're counting to me. We're counting to the number 50. We're trying to get to Shavuos, which is beyond limitations, where we stop counting, because there are no limitations there. That's the avodah of Sfiras HaOmer. The question is, how do we make this practical? How do we bring this into our lives? And what are we supposed to do when we're saying the bracha of Al Sfiras HaOmer? The question we started with was, why does the bracha of Al Sfiras HaOmer make any sense? Surely it should be Al Sfiras HaYomim. Says Ramosha Shapiro, what's the idea of the Omer? Reishis Katsirchem. You take the first produce that grew and offer it as a korban to Hashem. Why? To show you that everything you eat is really connected back to Hashem. It's not an isolated korban Hashem. It's supposed to be the reishis, the very beginning. You're supposed to take and say, this is for Hashem. Why? So that everything we're eating, don't think that they're disconnected. Don't think that this has nothing to do with Hashem. We just grew produce and now we can eat it. No problem. No, the whole idea of the Omer is to take the notion that the very beginning of our crops goes to Hashem and take that into every item of food that we eat throughout the whole time and say this is all connected back to the Omer. So he says, Sfirah for Omer, Al Sfirah for Omer is taking the idea of Omer, counting properly with it, which is connecting back to the source the whole way through the Omer till we reach the Mi at the end, the 50 at the end, that is supposed to connect to the Eileh, the Mi and the Eileh, to make Elohim. One last idea to connect this all together and make this something that we live by on a daily basis. I think this idea is very powerful. There's one kind of idea that bookends our lives. There's a mantra of Yiddishkeit that we say, we teach it to our kids. It's like the first thing that we teach our kids. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. We say over their cup. And if one is able to on their deathbed, it's the last thing they're supposed to say. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The idea of connecting everything back to Achdus Hashem, saying ultimately that we, although see the world in a way where there's lots of different people, lots of different things, and lots of things that happen to us, really all they're building a bigger picture. They're building a picture for us that connects us and the world back to Achdusa Yisborach, the unity of Hashem. That's why it's enveloping our lives from beginning to end, at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the avoid of Klal Yisrael during the Yimei HaSfirah. That's what we're supposed to be trying to do. And it's very difficult sometimes to see the disconnected things that happen to us as we go through our lives. Sometimes it seems difficult, sometimes it seems challenging, sometimes it seems disconnected. But ultimately, they're all connected. And to finish off, it's very, very clear to me why it is that Shema itself, when we say it, is Rosh Tevis, Tzu Moroi Meinechem, because that's our job in the world, which is to look out, see all the different things in the world, and connect ultimately all of the Ela to the Me behind it. Thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
עולם שלם של תוכן מחכה לך בכל הלשון 03-617-1111